Ram Ram Hare Hare. Dear fortunate souls doing Bhakti Vaibhav with VIHE, you are all welcome for continuing our study, second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, first chapter, the first stage in God realization. We have finished up till verse number 15, and as yesterday we discussed, we are in a section quality of life matter, not quantity. This is what we yesterday discussed up till verse 12 to 14. And then yesterday I left this what is on the screen now. Why is there so much discussion about the universal form and other topics like liberation in Srimad Bhagavatam? The Bhagavatam is Amala Purana. So this is something, because there were many audience in the Sukhdev's, when Sukhdev was speaking, and also there are different type of the people, so the reasons given is reason number one. Can somebody read the reason number one?
Hare Krishna, can I read?
Yes, Ambika.
Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam is not just for Paramahamsas.
So generally we have, it is for Paramahansa, but it is not Paramahansa, and there is a proof for that. And there is this next slide gives the proof. Purpose of Vyasadeva's compiling Bhagavatam, this verse if you remember is in first canto, 7th chapter. Anartho upashamanam sakshad bhakti yogam adhokshajay lokasya ajananto vidvan chakre satvatam sahitam. So anartho upashamanam sakshad, to mitigate all the miseries of the conditioned souls, bhakti yogam adhokshajay, and advocating the devotional service unto the Lord, lokasya ajananto, people don't know, but Vyasadeva is a Vidwan, he knows Chakra Sattvic Sahita, means he compiled Bhagavatam. So he compiled Bhagavatam for all the people who are under the influence of material nature or Maya. And Maya is under control of Supreme Lord. And they are all doing unearth. They are doing something not beneficial for them. So it is for all people. And the second purpose of Sukhdev is speaking Bhagavatam. This is in the 12th canto, this verse. This verse says, Yaha swanubhavam akhila shruti saram ekam adhyatma deepam atititra shattam tamo na andam sansarinam karunyaha purana goyam tam vyasa sonam upayami gurum muninam. This verse you can find in a 12th canto, 13th chapter, last chapter. So akhil surti saram, this is the essence of all the Vedic literature. It is adhyatma deepa, it is the spiritual light, and it can take us beyond the ignorance. Sansari nam karuna, it is for all the people who are conditioned in this material world. Puranam goyam, this very confidential Bhagavatam Purana. Vyasa sunam, son of Vyasa Deva. He is the spiritual master of the... So he has... This is for all the people who are in a material world. And purpose of Maitreya is speaking the Bhagavatam. This must be in 10th or 3rd canto. So aham nirnam kushalaha sukhaya dukham mahat gatanam brahmaya tasya pravartaye Bhagavatam puranam yad aha sakshat bhagavan rishi bhayaha. So sukhaya dukham, those who are suffering, it is to make them happy. Mahad gatanam viryama tasya. So this is something, I think somebody should look for all these verses. It is not given here. The first one is first canto, 7th chapter, and verse must be about 8 or 9, something like that.
Sixth verse, one probably is written 6th.
176.
176.
So I'm just putting it here, 176. All right. 17. Six. 176. Okay.
Second is 1, 2, 3.
Second is 1, 2, 3.
Yes. And third is 3, 8, 2.
Third is okay. I think second you are not correct as far as I think.
I just checked.
It must be in a 12th canto as far. It may be in second. Huh?
In second chapter, Roji, this is third shlok.
Second chapter, third shlok in which?
First canto.
Okay, very good. So you got it. Because similar one is in 12th canto also. So if you are getting it, I think I'm not good at doing all this, but we should do it properly. Anyway, 176 is perfect. And the second one is?
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. Well, how to do? Gap. Okay. Sorry. One, two, three. And the third one, three? 3, 8, 2. Okay, 3, 0, 2. All right, Hare Krishna. So these are the reasons that this Bhagavatam is for all, not for only some people. And then we are going to the next page. Srimad Bhagavatam is just not for Paramhansas. This is what Syata Krishna Nama Charita Disita Pya Vidya Pitta Upatapattaha Rasanasya Naro Chikano Kentva Adarad Anodinam Kalo Shaiva Jushta Swadhi Karamanad Bhavati Tadagadamula Antri. I think, guess which is this verse? I think most of you know. This is from Nectar of Instruction.
Seventh verse.
Yeah.
Seventh.
Right? And the next verse everybody can easily know. Dharma Prajit Kaitavo Atra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. So this verse is 112. Pibanti ye bhagvat atmanah satam kathamratam sharavanah puteshu sambratam punanti te vishyah vidushita sayam brajanti ta charna saroruhantikam. But this is from?
2237.
2237. So it will come in our discussion, right? So, so you should write and send me all this. We can make this available for reading. Okay. Reason number two. Different people have different qualification. Not everyone is qualified for pure devotional service. Therefore, the universal form and liberation is also within Bhagavatam. And here there is a verse, there is no material disqualification for practice of bhakti. Shastraha shruyate bhaktau. The scriptures say that any human being is qualified for bhakti, just as everyone is qualified to take a bath during the month of Magha, which means January. Vashishta, while speaking to the king, has given that example. concerning devotion to Lord Hari. This is from Nectar of Devotion. Qualification for Vaidhi Sadhan Bhakti Yadrichaya Madakathasu Jata Sharadho Jata Sharadho Su. This is the 1128. If someone or other, if somehow or other, by good fortune means association of devotee, one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glory, such a person
being guided by
Hare Krishna. Please mute. Who is there? Pratik? Alright. So this is one of the verse, if you know, if one is too attached, then he is karmi. If he is too detached, he is jnani. If he is in between, then he is eligible for bhakti. This is the verse which we discuss usually in Nectar of Devotion. It means anybody can practice. So some are not qualified, some are qualified. Qualification of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Tavat karmani kurvanti. Now, this is already 1129. As long as one is not stimulated by fruitive activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Sharvanam Kirtanam Vishnu, one has to act according to the regulatory principle of Vedic injection. So all these things are in the Bhagavatam itself. Therefore, these topics are discussed in reason number 3. Any Mahapurana has to discuss the 10 topics. Because among the 10 topics, the liberation is also a topic. And creation is also a topic. So this is the verse which on the first day we have discussed, Sri Suka Vacha, Ata Sarago Visargascha Sthanam Poshanam Utayaha Manavantarai Shanu Kataha Nirodha Muktir Ashriya. And these are the 10 subjects. And the next verse says, the great devotees such as Vidur and Maitreya describe properly the 9 topics in order to impart the highest knowledge of the 10th topic through the words of the scripture and the stories to illustrate their meaning. So the all 9 topics are ultimately to focus on Ashraya, and that Ashraya is Sri Krishna, and that is the 10th canto mostly.
Maharaj, I couldn't write reason number 3, the headline. Can you?
Sorry?
I couldn't write reason number 3, the heading of the So can you just repeat
this? I am not expert. I wanted to send this file to you, but somehow I could not. I will try.
Okay.
Tomorrow I will tell if I can get this whole file to be transferred to all. I can do that. But anyway, now the first reason was, it is not only for Paramahansa. Second reason was? What was the second reason? All are not qualified for bhakti. Third reason is 10 subject matter. Any Puran must have 10 subject matters. So liberation is a subject matter. And here is a verse 1266. Narayan, the soul of the universal form, who annihilate the accumulated sins of the Kali age, age of Kali, is not glorified much in other works, but Bhagavan with unlimited forms is abundantly and constantly described throughout the various narration of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the verse from 1266, and this is next verse 3510. Great person, I have heard repeatedly of the various natures of the high and low person from mouth of Vyasadeva. I have been stirred with hearing about those natures which gives insignificant happiness, being devoid of the great sweet nature of Krishna's pastime. Because some in books there is a lot of people who are not eligible for bhakti. So Srila Prabhupada has a purport on this verse. This is too much, I think. I can send files, you can refer to this. The fourth reason is, proper understanding of this topic lead to purification. Fourth reason is, proper understanding of this topic leads to purification. And we have this verse from 2:7:53. If a jeev constantly describes maya in relation to the Lord, remembers maya or hears about maya with proper faith, he will not be bewildered by maya. So this description of the material world and all these things ultimately purify him. And Srila Prabhupada has a lengthy purport on this also. The science of learning a subject matter seriously is different from sentiments of the fanatics. Srila Prabhupada's, and the fifth reason, and the last reason, understanding of this topic is prerequisite to understand the higher topics. So this is also necessary to understand. And there is a verse here from 5:26:38. In the beginning, second and third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I have already described how one can progress on the path of liberation, Nivarti Lakshan Marga. In the Puranas, Puraneshu, the universe divided into 14 parts is described as a gross body of the Supreme Lord Narayan, which means Virata Roop, made up of his material Maya. If one reads the description of the external forms of the Lord with great faith, or if one hears about it or explain it to others and develop faith, bhakti and pure intelligence, he will understand the topics of the Supreme Lord, which is like an Upanishad, difficult to understand. So they are necessary for the beginning. How come these yellow lines are coming here? And Srila Prabhupada has a purport on this verse. So our quotations are given to you, 2:10:10. Why do you always speak about the universal form and its shell and the self? Why is there so little sweet discussion about the qualities and form of the Lila Avatar? What you observe is true. To whom should topics about Lila Avatar be taught with relish? He who have perfected bhakti are a nitya siddha, constantly placed spontaneously in the sweet ocean of Lord's beauty and pastime. But those who are sleeping on the bed of bliss of sense pleasure, and those have fainted in the waves of the suffering arising from karma, cannot work up, woken up. How can pastime Lord be taught to them? So these are the so many reasons. And this is the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on 2:10:10, which means that you will do in this section. And this is a quite lengthy commentary. And this is the verse we have done yesterday. Now we have to start from here. Is it okay?
Yes, please.
Now I'm just not sharing this for a while. There are 17 chats. What are the chats? I can see now. Okay. You send all these. You have my number. You can say, I think I will make somebody to put all these things in order. Anyway, this is a good question usually for our own understanding of the scripture. Why these things are in Bhagavatam? The universal form, some sort of liberation, yoga, why? And we have now by now five reasons. Can somebody repeat reason 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Without any reference, just can somebody repeat this? Yes?
Can I repeat?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, reason number one is that Srimad Bhagavatam is not only for Paramahansas.
Okay. And it means it's for all people.
Yes.
Okay. Number two?
Number two is different people have different qualifications.
Yes, all are not qualified for bhakti, so they can elevate gradually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And reason number three, Any Purana must have 10 subject matters, so liberation is one of them.
Yeah, any Mahapurana must have 10 subjects. That is a criteria for Mahapurana. Mm-hmm. All right. Number four?
And number four, proper understanding leads to purification.
It leads to purification, yes. And last one? I think this one is the last one?
Understanding the topics. I'm not sure if I got the whole sentence, but like prerequisite.
I can repeat this.
Yeah.
The number four is proper understanding of these topics lead to purification, right? Proper understanding of these topics lead to purification.
Yes.
And the last one is understanding these topic is prerequisite to understand the higher topics. They are stepping stones for entering into the higher realm of form, qualities and pastime of the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada used to say, for a pure devotee, the Srishti Leela means creation and Ras Leela are equally important. For a pure devotee, the creation and Ras Leela are equally important because they are both of the Supreme Lord. So one gradually we are elevated by this method. Okay, this was the one sort of a whole presentation. Since we have lot more to do, I don't know if I will be able, then I can send you this whole file. But these verses, if you have quoted, you can also do little research on your own. Now we are going to the third section. Sukhdev Goswami present another popular opinion. It's not his own opinion. Yesterday we heard his opinion will come at the end of the second chapter. These are the popular opinion because there were so many saints sitting there and they had some opinion. Performing Ashtanga Yoga to attain liberation. And this section will go from 15 verse to 25. And I think we have to finish up till this section today. So 15 yesterday we have done. And 15 we have done so fast, I think our Nilmani has read. Antakale tu purusha agate gata sadhasvaha sadhvasaha chindayat asanga shastrena spraha dehe anayechatam. At the time of death having arrived, a man devoid of fear of death should cut off with the weapon of detachment desire for the body and for things related to the body such as wife and children. The summary is, person on this path being free from the fear of death should be completely detached at the time of death. So, this verse 15 can be with the previous section where the quality of life is important than the quantity, because at the last moment one should completely detached. And what Srila Prabhupada has given us in the purport in this section yesterday, what we saw, ultimately the whole purpose of the life is to change the desire. The whole purport is focused on one word, desire. Everybody has a desire, and that desire can be for material enjoyment, or the kind of desire can be to serve the Supreme Lord. So we have to change the desire from the material aspect of the life to the spiritual aspect of the life, concept of the life. I think that was the last line of the purport. If you remember, the last line of the purport was The perfection of such a service attitude is only attained simply by transferring desire of service from matter to the spirit, or from the Satan to the God. Satan means mal, sense gratification or enjoyment in this world, or being the agent of the Maya to the God. So that was the bottom line of the whole life's goal. The desires will continue with us, but now we have to channel the desire from the matter to the spirit. From the material enjoyment or Maya to the master of the Maya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now we are going to the verse number 16 for today. Grahat parvirjito dhirah punya tirath jalalupatta jalapluta suchau vivikta sino vidhivata kalpita sane. This is verse number 16. One should leave home and practice self-control. In a sacred place, he should bathe regularly and sit down in a lonely place duly sanctified. Now the verse number 16 and 17 we put together, then it is like that. The person controlling his senses should leave the house, take bath in holy places, and then sit on the seat made according to the rules in a solitary, clean place. Should repeat the pure syllable Om, that is the next verse, using mind and controlling the breath. Make the mind motionless while remembering Om. So I'm just saying, Ashtanga Yoga, you all know the eight limbs of the yoga, right? Somebody can just refresh everybody's memory. What are the eight limbs of the yoga?
Can I, Prabhu?
Yes. Yes. Anita?
Yam, Niyam.
Yes.
Asan.
Pranayam.
Pratyahara.
Dharana.
Samadhi.
Before Samadhi, there is a one.
Dhyan.
Dhyan and Dhyan. Samadhi, right. Dhyan and Samadhi. Where is the Sukhdev Mandar Bhagavatam? You have the background, this? You put the background of the Sukhtal, right?
Yeah, virtual background.
Yeah, Sukhtal Bhagavat Peet. This is the background of the Sukhtal, okay? There were no stairs when Sukhdev Goswami came at that time. Okay. So now in these two verses, 16 and 17, Dhira represents first stage of Yam. So Dhira is Yam, such as Brahmacharya. Bathing in the holy places represents the second stage, Niyama. So in the verses, there is a Yam and Nam. Sitting on the asan made according to rule, kush, deer, skin, cloth represent third stage, asan. Chanting the three syllables combined as a om repeatedly is the fourth stage, pranayam. By much practice of pranayam, one should first make the mind motionless, mano yachet, brahma bij om. This is the next verse meaning. Anyway, so what I wanted to say is, these are the four stages in these two verses of the Ashtanga Yoga. Now we are reading the Srila Prabhupada's purport to the verse number 16. And this is also in our question bank. How to prepare for death? A dangerous and fearful world. To prepare oneself for the better next life, one must get out of one's so-called home. So what Srila Prabhupada is discussing in the most of this purport is Varnashram system or Sanatan Dharam is that we have to go ultimately to the Vanaprastha and Sannyas. What Prabhupada is saying, modern civilization based on family comfort and highest standard of amenities, and therefore after retirement, everyone expects to live a very comfortable life in a well-furnished home decorated with fine ladies and children without any desire to get out of such a comfortable home. Is this true? Is this true?
Very true.
And then how government, high government officers and ministers stick to their price post until death. They don't want to retire like the bygone days kings to the forest, leaving their kingdom in the hands of their descendants, and they do tapasya, but nobody's doing now anymore. And they neither dream nor desire to get out of the homely comfort. Bound by such hallucinations, materialistic men prepare various plans for a still more comfortable life. But suddenly cruel death comes without mercy and takes away the great plan maker against his desire, forcing him to give up the present body, my body, for another body. Such plan maker is thus forced to accept another body in one of the 8,400,000 species of life according to the fruits of the work he has performed. In the next life, persons who are too much attached to the family comfort are generally awarded lower species of life on account of sinful acts performed during a long duration of sinful life, and thus all energy of the human life is spoiled. Well, this line is also very important, that most of these people who want to live comfortably, and for that they must do so many sins, so they will go in lower species. In order to be saved from the danger of spoiling the human form of life and being attached to the unreal things, one must take warning of the death at the age of 50. If not earlier, at least. The principle is that one should take it for granted that that warning is already there, even prior to the attainment of the 50 years of age, and thus at any stage of life, one should prepare himself for better next life. The system of Sanatana Dharma institution is so made that follower is trained for the better next life, without any chance that human life will be spoiled. Holy places all over the world are meant for the residential purpose of retired persons getting ready for better next life. It means what Prabhupada said for our ISKCON devotees, that Mayapur and Vrindavan is for your retirement. Now preach, later retire in these two places. One purpose means to live in a forest, and the best forest is Vrindavan. Ban means forest. So, these are the holy places meant for that purpose. Intelligent person must go there at the end of life. At the end of life means when he retires. Active life. And for that matter, after 50 years of age, to live a life of a spiritual regeneration. Because otherwise we will degenerate spiritually. For the sake of being freed from family attachment, which is considered to be the cycle of material life, one is recommended to quit home just to get rid of material attachment, because one who sticks to family until death cannot get rid of material attachment, and as long as one is materially attached, one cannot understand spiritual freedom. One should not, however, become a self-complacent. This is very interesting. One should not, however, become self-complacent simply by leaving home or by creating another home at holy places. This is what is happening. Either lawfully, means go and live with his wife, or unlawfully. That's what Prabhupada writes next line. Many persons leave home and go to this such holy place, but due to bad association, again become family men by illicit connection with the opposite sex. There are so many people like this. I think this was almost 26-27 years back. I came to Vrindavan in a Gaushal. I was walking, and one person I met, I don't know who he was. So he told me, "You want to stay in Vrindavan?" I say I'm looking some place, house to live in Vrindavan. He say, "Oh fool number one, did your all six Goswami ever build a house in Vrindavan and a bridge? They lived under the trees. They left the homes. So you will build a house and you will do bhajan here? Forget this." He told me that, and then I never saw that person again. I don't know who he was. But somehow or other I am just living still in Gaushala earlier, now in ISKCON. And so this is what I'm feeling. The people are here. So many well-furnished accommodations are available in Vrindavan. So this is same as we are living in Delhi, and there is no bhajan most of the time. So this is what Prabhupada's writing is so perfectly correct. That people are still making the comfortable homes in Vrindavan. But still they will never get free from the bad habits. The illusory energy of the matter is so strong that one is apt to be under such illusion at every stage of life, even after quitting one's happy home. So Maya is very powerful. Therefore it is essential that one practice self-control by celibacy without the least desire for sexual indulgence. For a man desiring to improve the condition of his existence, sex indulgence is considered suicidal or even worse. Therefore, to live apart from family life means to become self-controlled in regard of all sense desires, especially sex. The method is that one should have a duly sanctified sitting place made of straw, deer skin and carpet. Usually it is a cloth, which is woolen. Woolen is the best. Then silk is the best. And thus sitting on it, one should chant the holy name of Lord without offenses, as prescribed before. The whole process is to drag the mind from the material engagement and fix it on the lotus feet of Krishna. The simple process alone will help one advance to the highest stage of spiritual success. So, this verse, Srila Prabhupada is really blunt, that we should retire and live. And Srila Prabhupada, when he's writing this, he has done himself this. Though he retired after 50 from his practice, means whatever he was doing, business of medical line, but he ultimately retired. And he came to Vrindavan, and he never had anything. He was living in one temple. First he was living in one temple, then in Radha Raman temple. Oh sorry, Radha Damodar temple. Before that he was in Radha Bansi Mohan something, I remember. So, and then he was living sometime in Gauriya Math. So, he personally, what he is writing, he has himself done. It's not that he is imposing on somebody. And even when Srila Prabhupada has a wonderful opulent temples and opulent place for him to stay, he went and met the Maharaj from Malaysia. At that time he was the temple commander. He said, "I can live under a tree and chant Hare Krishna and do my bhajan. But now I have to look after an international society and I have to preach to the many people. So for preaching purpose, I am using the facility, not for my personal purpose." In a Mayapur, Prabhupada, you all, those who visited Mayapur, have seen the thatch roof, Prabhupada's kutir at the gate. And Prabhupada was living in that kutir. And when even the long building was made, and Prabhupada's room was there, they asked him, "Prabhupada, now we have a nice room." He said, "That is not a brick, I don't want to go there. That is a mode of passion, I am happy here. This thatch roof is a mode of goodness." So all the leaders, they gathered together and they approached Prabhupada very intelligently. Say, "Prabhupada, if you go to your room there, where the many people will come and you can preach to them because the facilities are comfortable there." Oh, Prabhupada said, "For preaching we can go. But for personally I am happy here." So when Prabhupada is writing all these things, actually, he has personally undergone this procedure. So living simply in a dham is most important. Living same extravagant in a dham, there is no possibility really advancing spiritually. The next verse, number 17. Abhyasena manasa shuddham trivirdha brahmaksharam param manoyacheya jitaswaso brahma bijam avissamaram. So abhyaseta, practice. After sitting in the above manner, make the mind remember the three transcendental letters, that is A, U, Ma, O, Ma. And by regulating breathing process, I think you all have this, right? You are using our book, I am using the book, right?
Yes, Swami, we can see the steps.
Okay. There's no need to show this to you, sir. You have this book, right? But now you can see this. Can you see this?
Yes, Prabhuji, we can see.
Yeah. So, Om, and by regulating the breathing process, control the mind so as not to forget the transcendental seed. And that transcendental seed, that is the meaning of the Brahma Bijam. So Srila Prabhupada writes, Omkar or Pranava is the seed of transcendental realization. And it is composed of the three transcendental letters A, U, Ma. But it's chanting by mind. But it's chanting, it's chanted by mind. In conjunction with breathing process, though this is with pranayam. It's not, it's like our Hare Krishna, we chant loudly, it's not like that. It is chanted in mind, Om, then you take by breath, then stop and Ma, you take it out. So this is a special practice they do, those who are practicing yoga. Which is transcendental, but? What is the word here? That is transcendental, but? Mechanical. Way of getting into trance. It is transcendental because the sound is transcendental. But the procedure is mechanical. As devised by the experience of the great mystics, so this is a yoga process. One is able to bring the mind which is materially absorbed under control. This is the way of chanting, changing the habit of mind. So the whole process is, it is like that. To practice asana means, at least one can sit more than 2 hours in one position. That is also necessary for us to chant our rounds. So, the asana controls the senses. Pranayam controls the mind. The purpose of pranayam means the breath exercise is to control mind. And here Srila Prabhupada writes, function of spiritual reaction, the quality of engagement of mind has to be changed. Anybody remember the culture of mind? Srila Prabhupada's used word in Nectar of Devotion. A spiritual culture of mind. Anybody remembers this? Nectar of Devotion. Because the devotion is by body, mind and words. All three we have to cultivate. So Srila Prabhupada described the culture of a spiritual culture of mind is, Srila Prabhupada writes there, Krishna's pastime in Kurukshetra, speaking Bhagavad Gita, or Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan. This is the spiritual culture of mind. This is in a Nectar of Devotion. Is it okay? Now Prabhupada is saying, this is the way to change the habit of mind. Mind is not to be killed. Desires are not to be killed. Mind or desire cannot be stopped, but to develop a desire to function for spiritual realization, the quality of the engagement of by mind has to be changed. The mind is the pivot of active sense program organs. And as such, if the quality of thinking, feeling and willing is changed, this is the function of mind, naturally the quality of action by the instrumental senses will also change. So Omkar is the seed of all transcendental sound. And it is only the transcendental sound which can bring about the desired change of the mind and the senses. Even a mentally dearranged man can be cured by treatment of transcendental sound. In Bhagavad Gita, the pranava Omkar has been accepted as the direct, literal representation, sound representation of Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is not able to chant directly the holy name, this is important line. One who is not directly able to chant the holy name Hare Krishna, as recommended above, can easily chant pranava. This Omkar is note of address such as O my Lord, just as Om Hari Om means O my Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we explained before, the Lord's holy name is identical with the Lord himself. So also is Omkar. But person who are unable to realize the transcendental personal form or name of the Lord on the account of their imperfect senses, in other words, the neophyte, are trained to the practice of self-realization by this mechanical process of regulating breathing function and simultaneously repeating the pranava. Within the mind, again see, it's not, this is in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Om iti eka akshara viharan ma manu samran. Om iti eka aksharam viharan. They recite Om and remember me. What Srila Prabhupada is saying is, what I tell to the people generally when I preach, when the child is small, he has to call his father, he will say, oh, something like that, because he don't know the name. But when he is grown up, then you ask him, what is your father's name? He will tell, my father's name is Govindram. So like the, those who are new, they are not very much attached to the holy name and form of the Supreme Lord. They are much attached to the impersonal aspect of the God, or Brahma aspect of the God. They practice chanting of the Om. So Srila Prabhupada writes, it's a bona fide, but it is for the neophyte. And as we have several times expressed, since the transcendental name, form, attribute, personal action of personality of God are impossible to understand with present material senses, it is necessary that through the mind, the center of sensual activity, such transcendental realization be set into motion. What is this? What Srila Prabhupada is writing? Somebody can remember? This is a verse quoted. What is that? Transcendental name, form are not possible with senses. Which is the verse paraphrase here? See again, Purna Pragya, Keshav.
Rajavidya,
Rajabhukti, that purpose. There is one verse, very famous verse from Nectar of Devotion. Sri Krishna Namadi, Atha Sri Krishna Namadi na Bhaveta Indriyai, Seva no Mukhe Jivadao Spurdi. This is the verse. It's not possible by senses we can know, but by service Krishna can reveal himself. So devotees directly fix their mind on person of the absolute truth. So they, up till now, the discussion was for the this is called yoga mixed bhakti. The devotion mixed with yoga. Now Srila Prabhupada says, pure devotees directly fix their mind on person of the absolute truth. But one who is unable to accommodate such personal feature of absolute, is disciplined in impersonality to train the mind to make further progress. So actually this yoga system is focusing on impersonal aspect in the beginning. Verse number 18. Yes.
Hare Krishna Puni.
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
See, here they describe that function of the mind is thinking, feeling and willing. And yes. Even we heard that the function of the soul also thinking, feeling and willing.
Oh, no, not function of this. This is not a function of soul. Thinking, willing, feeling is not function of soul. Who said? Where you read?
I heard by someone earlier.
I don't think that it is not function of the soul.
Okay.
But mind's function is thinking, willing and feeling. And the intelligence function is discrimination.
Okay, yes, yes.
And the soul is beyond all this. Soul's constitution is actually Jivera Swarupa Krishna and Nitya Das. That is only the function of the soul. Is Satchit Ananda. Is full of bliss, is full of knowledge, and is eternal. So thinking, willing, feeling has nothing to do with the soul actually.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. So we are going to the verse number 18. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, here I just wanted to ask a question based on what Prabhu's question was. So in this whole framework, where does consciousness fit in? Like, what is consciousness? Where is it? Consciousness is a function of mind, of soul, of what is consciousness?
Consciousness is symptom of soul. Consciousness is symptom of soul. And in a, like subtle body is made up of generally four things. We know three things, mind, intelligence and false ego. But the polluted consciousness is called chit, is also the fourth component of the subtle body. The whole process of devotional service is to purify the polluted consciousness into Krishna consciousness. So chit is the fourth component of subtle body. That we will discuss in Canto 4, in a Puranjana allegory. And there the each part of the subtle body is presided by Vasudeva, Sankrishna, Pradyumna and Anuruddha. Vasudeva is presiding deity for the consciousness. And Sankrishna is presiding deity for the false ego. And the mind and intelligence, they have Pradyumna and Anuruddha. So this section is coming, will come later. So consciousness is symptom of soul. It has nothing to do with the material mind, intelligence and false ego. Is it okay?
Thank you, Prabhu.
So Sukhdev Goswami present another popular performing Ashtanga Yoga to attain liberation, verse number 18. Nyacheda Vishyebhyo Asak Akshan Manasa buddhihi sarthi manakaram bhirakshiptam akshiptam subharthe dharyed dhiya. One should restrain the senses such as I from the sense objects by the mind, manasa, whose assistant is intelligence, buddhi sarthi, and concentrate his intelligence, dharyad dhiya, on the Lord, Shubha Arthe. The mind is always agitated by previous karma, Manah Karambir Akshiptam. The verse summary is, after gaining sense control, he should try to concentrate the mind on the form of the Lord, Dharana. So we are going from the Yama, Nam, Asan, Pranayam, Pratihar to Dharana. But the mind agitated by previous karma will be an obstacle. So this is what is the aim of this verse. So now we are reading our Srila Prabhupada's purport. Okay. Somebody can start reading.
If
first process of spiritualizing the mind by mechanical chanting of the pranam omkar and by control of the breathing system is technically called the mystic or yogic process of pranayama, or fully controlling the breathing air. The ultimate state of this pranayama system is to be fixed in trance, technically called samadhi. But experience has proven that even the samadhi stage also fails to control the materially absorbed mind. For example, the great mystic Vishwamitra Muni, even in the stage of samadhi, became a victim of the senses and cohabitated with Menaka. History has already recorded this. The mind, although ceasing to think of sensual activities at present, remembers past sensual activities from the subconscious status that thus disturbs one from 100% engagement in self-realization. Therefore, Shukadev Goswami recommends the next step of assured policy, namely to fix one's mind in the service of the Personality of Godhead. Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, also recommends this direct process in the Bhagavad Gita 6:47.
Anybody?
Thus the mind.
Refresh this verse. What is 6:47? You memorize this. You remember this.
Yoginam api sarvesham mankatenantaranam.
Yes.
Shaddavan bhajate yomam samayuktatamomata.
Srila Prabhupada used to say, if you have to quote one verse for the yoga and from Bhagavad Gita, then this is the verse. Yoginam api sarvesham. If you have to quote one verse for jnana or the empirical knowledge from Bhagavad Gita, the only verse for knowledge is bahunam janmanam ante jnanvan mam prapadyante vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sa durlabha. And if you want to quote one verse for the karma yoga, then the best verse is yat karosi yad asnasi yad jahosi dadasi yat jatapasi kaunte tat kurushva madarapanam. So these are the single words for each. And for bhakti, he said, manmana bhavmat bhakto and sarvadhanvan paritaja. These are the important verses for each process. So thank you very much. Go ahead first. Thus the mind.
Thus the mind, being spiritually cleansed, one should at once engage himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord by the different devotional activities of hearing, chanting, etc. If performed under proper guidance, that is the surest path of progress, even for the disturbed mind.
So Srila Prabhupada has given both parallel purport for the yogis as well as for bhaktas. Yogis can do pranayam and bhakta can do devotional service. So I have just here commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this verse. By the controlled mind, one should withdraw the senses such as eyes and ear from the sense object such as sound and form. This is the fifth stage, pratyahara, of the yoga system. So in verse number 16 and 17, we have four stages up till pranayam. So this verse has the fifth stage, pratyahara. The mind whose assistant is intelligence which discriminates should then concentrate with intelligence on the form of the Lord. Shubharte. This is the sixth stage called dharana. So these are the technical things. Now he is doing dharana. The mind is absorbed. Mind is described as that which is impossible to make motionless by the pranayama and other process because of the extreme extent of the previous karma. It means mind is distracted because some old impression in the mind, and the mind goes somewhere else. So now we are going to the next verse. Verse number 19. Tatraika. Yes? Somebody has a question?
Yes, Bobby.
Yes.
So the boss in person, how it goes actually? Even while chanting, the mind is being cleansed. The depth of the mirror of the mind is being cleansed by the boss of chanting.
Mind? Again, yeah, what you are saying, mind is?
how to overcome this past impression. That's what it deserves from me.
Well, Srila Prabhupada gave an example. See, this is what is called in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. The process is that by all other process of knowledge or yoga, we can stop the present function of something, but the past or the impression of the past can again awaken. Like Ajamil, he was a Brahmin doing puja, but when he saw some bad scene, something which was in his subtle mind came out and he was attached to the prostitute. So only bhakti is so powerful that even the seed of the desire is completely, from the past karma is completely eradicated, and the example given is like the fog is cleared by rising of the sun. So no other process can really eradicate the ignorance which is the root cause for sinful desire and sufferings. So Vishwamitra Muni, he was a Kshatriya, he wanted to be Brahman, he was doing tapasya, but he was, but the Manika was sent by Indra and he was actually attracted to her, and he got a daughter that became the very famous wife of Maharaj Bharata, the Dushyanta. Yeah. Dushyanta married that, and the Bharata was born. Dushyanta, Bharata is the son of the daughter of Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra and Menaka, they had a daughter. What is the name of the daughter?
Shakuntala
married to the Dushyanta, and Maharaj Bharata was born, and that Bharata is the forefather of the Pandavas. So what Srila Prabhupada said is that all these yogic processes or process of jnana, they can control something presently, but what is in the past, in the seed form, that will remain there. The example is given, usually when there is a fire in a bamboo forest, the whole bamboo forest is burned, but the root is still there. By the next rain, it will come more powerful. It will become a more thick bamboo next time. Same root will come out. You know this, some of the bamboo cultivators, they burn the bamboos because they want the very thick bamboo by the root next time. So similarly, the root of sinful desire is there even when we are doing yoga. So the mind is in a trance, and the sinful desire will distract the mind. But only bhakti is so powerful that the sinful desires, the root cause of sinful desire is ignorance or avidya. That is eradicated. That is the power of the bhakti. Is it okay?
But it takes a long
time. It takes
a long time.
Yeah, say devotion is only, this is long time, you are right. For yogis, in a sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, anek janam sansiddhim, they take many lives to come to perfection. For jnanis, bahunam janmanam ante, they take many lives to get perfection. For karmis, there is no chance. But for devotees, 12th chapter, mrityusan bhavami, samudhirta mrityusansar sagrat bhavami nicharata parat. In this life, I will come on the shoulder of Garuda and pick him up. So this is the difference based on Bhagavad Gita. Very solid reason to say, if you follow the yoga process, you will take many lives to come to perfection. If you follow the knowledge path, it will take many lives. But if you take the devotional path, this one life is enough. What should we expect? One life, one moment is enough, as Ghatvang Maharaj perfected. So that is the glories of the devotional service. What yogis are doing for many years and many lives, devotees are doing when they are decorating the deity. Doing the deity worship is an open-eyed samadhi. You are in samadhi with open eyes. Focus on the lotus feet, put a tulsi leaf, focus on the each limb of the Lord. This is what is yoga actually. So we are doing that yoga more perfectly with open eyes.
Maharaj, even cooking for the deity is complete samadhi.
Yeah, this all is samadhi. What we are doing is all samadhi. But anyway, it's not easy for everybody. So we are going to the next verse, verse number 19.
May I ask?
Yeah, somebody has a question?
Yeah.
Yes?
Maharaj, I have one question. That in verse number 17,
What is the question on verse number 17?
Yeah, that the, devotional service, like chanting and hearing the name of the Lord is the perfect way of fixing up the mind. In the perpetual Prabhupada is written.
Yes.
But many times it has been seen that even after years and years of chanting, no benefit is
In this same line, it is written that offenselessly, as previously said.
The point I want to make, that if we take the help of meditation and yoga and all these things,
they will not help, actually speaking. They will distract only, because that takes many lifetimes. Chanting Hare Krishna is only perfect, provided we avoid offenses, which is not easy. In our devotional service, the anarth nivarti, the stage of getting free from offenses, take a long time. It takes very long time, actually speaking. Therefore, my personal realization is, regularly hearing Bhagavatam, then we will reach to the nishta and easily cross the stage of anarth nivarti. Nasht prayeshwa badreshu nityam bhagavat sevaya bhagavati uttama shlokir bhaktir bhavati nashtaki. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada instituted this Bhagavatam every day. If we continue with this, then anarth nivarti will be cleansed. But it's not easy. The yoga is difficult. The impersonal realization is difficult. They are more difficult, but devotion has also very rigid rules to follow to avoid the offenses. My experience is, I think once, what we are doing, where we are chanting, we are hearing, we are doing deity worship, but we are not progressing. The example is like when the car is stuck in a mud. You are putting a foot on an accelerator, petrol is burning, gas is burning, wheels are moving, but no distance is covered. Why? It is stuck in a mud. So we are stuck in an anarth nivarti stage right now. We are chanting, so energy is burning, the mala is moving, the wheel is moving. Right now what we need actually, the car which is stuck in a mud, there are two ways to do it. Either you need somebody's help that he should push it, or somebody can pull from the front. Then we can get out of this. So we need actually right now a good push by a good association of devotees, that we can really start moving further. This your study of Bhagavatam is a more like a pull. Pulling from the front to take us out of that stuck in a mud. And those who are living in the temple, the rules and regulation of pushing everybody for every day, the push and pull is needed for us. And that is the good devotee association and reading Bhagavatam. Verse number 19. One should then meditate tatra dhyayeta on the limbs of the Lord one after the other, eka avyayam, with uninterrupted mind, avyachinnena, chetasa. Using the mind detached from sense objects, nirvishyam mano yuktva, one should not think of anything else. Tatah kinchin nasmret. That is the Brahm aspect of the Lord. Padam tat param vishno, in which the mind is extinguished. Mano yatra prasidati. The summary of the verse is, this is on the screen, I think, right? The verse summary: one should then meditate on the individual limbs of the Lord with uninterrupted mind. This is a dhyana, stage of a dhyana. Then at the stage of samadhi, the mind is extinguished. So we have reached to the 7th and 8th stage in verse number 19. There is a one here, you can see on the screen, there is a verse given from the 3rd canto, 28th chapter, 34 verse. How even in the samadhi somebody can still deviate? The unfortunate yogi who has developed love for the Lord, full of all...
We cannot see the screen.
Sorry?
We cannot see the screen.
It's not there? Okay, let me see if I can... Is there now?
Yes, sir. Yes.
The unfortunate yogi who has developed love for the Lord, full of all sweet qualities, whose heart is somewhat soft because of devotion, whose body will here stand on the end in ecstasy, who is constantly overcome with intense tears of joy, gradually withdraw his hook-like mind from Lord's form because he is unfortunate yogi. Even at the stage of bhav, he deviate. That is the point. So this was told in the earlier verse. Even at a samadhi, the old impression pull him. And the next verse, is it also there? You can see on the screen more next verse?
Yes.
When the mind of a foolish yogi is still under the shelter of Lord, become devoid of material objects and is detached from all material objects, that mind suddenly gets destroyed, just as a flame dies without oil and wick. The jiva, having destroyed misconception of this body, then sees his atma without covering. So this is the realization of the yogi. So these are how they are foolish yogi. There's a lot more there on this purport. So we are going back to our purport for the verse number 19. Is it okay? So verse number 19 right now is here. I am reading Chakravarti Pad's purport. The next seventh stage meditation is described. One should meditate on the individual limb of Lord. Dharana makes the mind steady by concentration on the Lord. In general, meditation or dhyana is more complete steadiness of mind produced by contemplating on the limbs of the Lord. This is with uninterrupted consciousness, engaging the mind which is without contact with sense object. One should not think of anything else. This is Brahma, the form, Padam. This is the Brahma, the form, Padam of the Lord, in which the mind is extinguished. This is eighth stage called Samadhi. Now Srila Prabhupada's purport, somebody can start reading.
I can read.
Yes, Prabhu. Neela.
Foolish persons bewildered by the external energy of Vishnu do not know that the ultimate goal of the progressive search after happiness is to get in touch directly with Lord Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. Vishnu Tattva is an unlimited expansion of different transcendental forms of the personality of Godhead, and the supreme or original form of Vishnu Tattva is Govinda or Lord Krishna, the supreme cause of all causes. Therefore, thinking of Vishnu or meditating upon the transcendental form of Vishnu, specifically upon Lord Krishna, is the last word on the subject of meditation. This meditation may be begun from the lotus feet of the Lord. One should not, however, forget or be misled by the complete form of the Lord. Thus one should practice thinking of the different parts of his transcendental body, one after another. Here in this verse, it is definitely assured that the Supreme Lord is not impersonal. He is a person, but his body is different from the bodies of the conditioned persons like us. Otherwise, meditation beginning from pranava, omkar, up to the limbs of the personal body of Vishnu would not have been recommended by Sukadeva Goswami for the attainment of complete spiritual perfection.
Okay, what we have discussed right now, Srila Prabhupada has taken the word Vishnu from the verse. And taking word Vishnu, that source of Vishnu is Krishna. Because Vishnu is the is a super soul in the heart of everybody, and yogis have to meditate on the Vishnu within the heart. But Srila Prabhupada says, why to take trouble of meditating on a Vishnu within the heart? Why not meditate directly on Krishna, who is the source of Vishnu? So this is Prabhupada's like defeating Mayavad, that is it. That this verse is proving that Sukhdev Goswami is saying that meditate on the limbs of the Vishnu, so Vishnu is not impersonal. So this is the one aspect which is we have discussed right now. The Vishnu form of worship is in a great temple of India are not therefore arrangement of idol worship. Now Prabhupada is coming to the deity worship. So, you want to see the Vishnu in the heart, why don't you see the Vishnu in the temple? They are all wrongly interpreted by a class of men with a poor fund of knowledge. Rather, they are different spiritual center of meditation on transcendental limb of body of Vishnu. So, temples are the best place to meditate. And in third canto, we will read this when Kapil Dev is teaching about meditation from the foot of the Lord, then gradually going to the ankle, then gradually going to the knees, and then to the thighs, then to the waist, then to the abdomen, then to the chest. Like, this is a type of meditation. If you remember, when we go to the temple, how can we see the deity usually? The advice is to start from the spiritual master, go to the parampara. Say Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, and Jagannath Das Babaji. Then you look, so usually there's six Goswamis. Then go to the Pancha Tattva. Then if the Narsingha is there, then think of Lord Narsingha. And then go to say Gaur Nitya, then start from the lotus feet of Nityananda and meditate gradually up till his beautiful lotus face, and then see his crown and everything. Then go to the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, start from the lotus feet all the way up. So this is a procedure we should do, but generally speaking, devotees go and directly look at a face. Is it right or wrong?
Wrong.
Not good.
It's not good, no. It is a Raga Anuga. Because Raga Anuga is so attached to the face that he just directly see the face. So there's nothing wrong in that, but the procedure for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is to, when we go to the temple, we should start going in a procedure and with a prayer. That is our daily meditation on the deity. Okay, so the worship of the deity in the temple of Vishnu is identical with Lord Vishnu by inconceivable potency of the Lord. It means Archa Vigraha is incarnation as Krishna incarnate, as Krishna and Ram. So he incarnate also as a Archa Vigraha. Therefore a neophyte's concentration or meditation upon the limb of Vishnu in temple as contemplated in the revealed scripture is an easy opportunity for meditation for persons who are unable to sit down tightly at one place and then concentrate upon the pranava omkara, limbs of the body of Vishnu, as recommended here by Sukhdev Goswami, the great authority. It means the yoga system of meditating on Vishnu is difficult with omkara, but it is easy to go in a temple. Oh, there are so many temples of Lord Vishnu or Krishna or Ram, and you can sit in few minutes, you can meditate and relish the, because there's no difference between Vishnu in the heart and Vishnu in the temple. There's no difference between Omkar and the form of Vishnu, but person unacquainted with the science of Absolute Truth try to create dissension by differentiating between the form of Vishnu and that of the Omkar. These are the people. Actually, what Prabhupada is writing, these are Arya Samajis. They say Omkar is everything, deity is an idol. Dissension, what Prabhupada is writing, these are the people which says there is no need of going to the temple and worshipping deity, just say Omkar. So, here it is indicated that Vishnu form is the ultimate goal of meditation. And as such, it is better to concentrate upon the form of Vishnu than on impersonal Om form. This is a clear-cut Prabhupada's purport that better to do the deity meditation rather than Om chanting of the Om. The latter process is also more difficult than former. Omkar is more difficult, and then Prabhupada used to quote the verse from 12th canto, 12th chapter, 5th verse, Bhagavad Gita. Klesho adhiktar tesham avyakta sakta chetsam avyaktai gatir dukham dehvad bhiravapyate. Now we have reached to the meditation, so yoga form, we have reached to the full limit of the yoga. But now some yogis are not able to control their desires. So from here we have verse number 20. We have done verse number 20, right? So after verse number 20, I have this chart I have sent you. Can you see this chart? You got this chart, Prabhu?
No, you have to share again.
No?
Now we can see. Now we can see.
No, well, I asked the coordinator to send you this chart.
Because we got it in the group.
So Ashtanga Yoga process, the top you see the Yam, Nam and Asana and Pranayam, then Pratyahar, and after that there is a attached yogi on one side. You can see attached yogi has to go to the Dharana Ashray Virat Roop. So they have to take the path of Virat Roop, which is now in our discussion, it is going to start. And those who are reaching to the Dharana, and if they have desire, they can go on this side. And if they have no desire, they can go to the detached yogi, and for them, Dharana is Paramatma. So they go to the Paramatma, but the other side they will go on to the Virat Roop. So now what we are discussing rest of the chapter is Virat Roop. So those who are going to the Dharana Ashray is Paramatma, they will go to Dhyan Samadhi, and then when they reach to the Brahma realization, and then Shat Chakra Yoga. This Shat Chakra Yoga, if you know, remember this, this chakra, name of these circles are there. Agya Chakra. And then what is there? Somebody can read? Vishuddha Chakra, Anahata Chakra, Manipur Chakra, and Swadhishtan Chakra, Muladhar Chakra. These are the from below to up. The upper Muladhar is the lowest one, and then they have to go down, and then they reach to the liberation. On the other side, those who have a desire, if they give up desire, they can go directly to this side. But if they continue desire, then what they will do, this is called Krama Mukti. These are the two words used, Sadhya Mukti, Karma Mukti. Krama Mukti means step by step. stay mukti, and satya mukti means direct liberation. So they go in a krama mukti. For them, they follow the Vaishvanar loka. From Vaishvanar loka, they goes to the Sushmara loka, Sushmara mahar loka, mahar loka, bhar loka, and then change form from earthly, watery, fiery, and ether. Then process from false ego, pierces false ego, pierces mahatattva, pierces pradhan, and then go for liberation. So this is the chart. These yogis, they take two path. So this is actually the verse number 21. Can you see the 21 verse now? In that process of dharana, the yogi who sees the Lord, Bhadram Ashram Ikshata, by dharana.
Prabhuji,
yes.
We did not do 20. Verse number 20.
Oh, we have not done. We will do this. No problem. We are going to the verse number 20. Here is the verse number 20. The wise man controls the mind. Agitated by rajas and bewildered by tamas, by practice of dharana, which destroys the impurity produced by rajas and tama. By the practice of dharana, one destroys the impurities produced by rajas and tama. So this is the verse. We should read this. Thank you very much for reminding. Anyway, we are going. All right. Because that is in verse number 20, on base on verse number 21, that chart. So verse number 20 is here now. One's mind is always agitated by the passionate mode of material nature and bewildered by the ignorant mode of nature. But one can rectify such conception by relation of Vishnu, and thus become pacified by cleaning the dirty things created by them. If there is again disturbance from the gunas, one should make dharana firm. Agitated by rajas, bewildered by tamas, one should control his mind. That will destroy the contaminated created by rajas and tamas. Satkirtam. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Somebody can read the purport? Yeah, Prabhu, start reading purport. Yes, who will read this?
Should I read?
Yes.
Persons generally conducted by the modes of passion and ignorance cannot be bona fide candidates for being situated in the transcendental stage of God realization. Only persons conducted by the mode of goodness can have the knowledge of the Supreme Truth. Effects of the modes of passion and ignorance are manifested by too much hankering after wealth and women. And those who are too much after wealth and women can rectify their feelings.
Their
learnings.
Leanings
only by constant remembrance of Vishnu in his potential impersonal feature. Generally, the impersonalists or monists are influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. Such impersonalists think of themselves as liberated souls, but they have no knowledge of the transcendental personal features of the Absolute Truth. Actually, they are impure in heart on account of being devoid of knowledge of the personal feature of the Absolute. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that after many hundreds of births, the impersonal philosopher surrenders unto the personality of Godhead.
Which is this verse?
Bahunam Janmanamante.
Yes, this is for the Gyanis. Yes, Gyanis are mostly impersonals, right?
Yes. Acquire such a qualification of God realization in the personal feature, the neophyte impersonalist is given a chance to realize the relation of the Lord in everything by the philosophy of pantheism.
Now this is our question here in our question bank. What is the meaning of, somebody can discuss what is the meaning of pantheism? Pantheism, somebody can discuss what is pantheism means?
Impersonalism?
Then is a, why there's another word, pantheism?
Can we use the material energy in the service of Lord?
Pantheism means thinking everybody, everything is God. Everybody is God. Is something like that? Anybody know exactly what is the meaning of pantheism in dictionary?
The belief that God exists in all natural things.
Say what is the meaning in dictionary for pantheism?
The belief that God exists in all natural things.
Yeah, that is what like Prabhupada will describe in next verses. Even those who are the living in the mountain, the uneducated people, they think big mountain is God, the big tree is God, the lightning is God. So pantheism means anything in the material world is a, more or less pantheism is like a universal form of Lord. That is the concept. So they impersonalists are given the chance to realize the realization of the Lord and everything as a pantheism means. Actually, why this word is quoted, connected with the this verse of Bhagavad Gita? Vasudeva sarvamiti samatma sa durlabha. So Vasudeva means vasate sarvatra. He is everywhere. In every item he is there. So they see Vasudeva everywhere. Now most important line is coming. Pantheism in its higher status does not permit the student to form an impersonal concept of the absolute truth. So pantheism is not actually for impersonalism, but it extends the conception of the absolute truth into the field of so-called material energy. What it means that in this whole material universe, we will see the whole material universe as a universal body of the Supreme Lord. Everything created by material energy can be dovetailed with the absolute by an attitude of service, which is the essential part of living energy. The pure devotee of Lord knows the art of converting everything into the spiritual existence by his service attitude, and only in that devotional way can the theory of pantheism can be perfected. And the one line you want to say is Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. All this material world, we have no relation, but we can use this in the service of Krishna, Krishna Sambandhi. So this is the concept, this is very important to know, that pantheism is actually thinking of the universal form of the Lord. It is not impersonal concept of the Lord. In a higher sense, gradually from this we can go to the personal concept rather than from Virat Roop, we should not go. Achha, now, before that, I can tell you, remind you one verse in 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. There are three type of more jnana yogena, anya jnana yogena, ek tvena prathik tvena bahuda vishvato mukham. You know this verse? Anybody remember this verse? It must be 15 or 16, I don't know, 15 maybe. 9, 15 or 16, what is that?
9, 15.
Yeah, 15. Can you see there are three types of worship there?
Yes.
First is Ektvena, which is like Brahmavadi. I am same as a God. It is called Aham Graha Upasana. And this is lower. Higher than that, that every, the universal form actually, then. They're thinking everything as a God. Everything as a God. This is a whole next bunch of the verses. Kartur aham, aham yagna, swada aham, aham oshram, mantra aham, aham evajam. This is a Vishwaroop. Concept of the universal form. And in between is considering all demigods as gods, this sort of pantheism. There also you read this word will come there. So out of these three in Bhagavad Gita, the Ektvain is a lowest, Prithaktvain is number two, Vishvatomukham is number one, is better. So actually this is the Vishvatomukham, this is the universal form, which is actually pantheism, and this will take us from here to the more spiritual aspect. Is it okay? We can go to the verse number 21.
Yes, Prabhu, I was just looking at some of the dictionary definitions. One important thing that I think is worth clarifying, It says, example of pantheism is rejecting the idea that God has an individual personality, right? So from that perspective,
but therefore, Prabhupada is saying, in a higher sense, it is not like that.
Okay.
Usually it takes to the impersonalism if they are not guided by the devotees. But if they are guided by devotees, from the pantheism, they can go to the personal God. Next verse has a more little explanation of this pantheism, I hope.
Okay.
We are reading to verse number 21. Yasyam sandharanya. Now this word is coming important. Yasyam sandharanyamanayam. Yogino bhakti lakshanaha ashu sampadyate yogo ashtaryam bhadram ikshataha. O king, by this system of remembrance and by being fixed in a habit of seeing the all good personal conception of the Lord, one can very soon attend devotional service to the Lord under his direct shelter. In that process of dharana, the yogi sees the Lord by dharana, quickly complete bhakti mishra yoga. So which type of devotion this will be? Yoga Mishrit Bhakti. Bhakti Mishrit Yoga. Now I am just refreshing your memory. So Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur has divided devotion in two varieties. Pure devotion, devotional service, and mixed devotional service. And mixed devotional service he has divided Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti. Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti means mix bhakti with karma, with yoga and with jnana. Our 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam, has two type of mixed Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti. Karma Mishrata and jnana Mishrata in this verse. And in 8th chapter the devotion is called Pradhani Bhuta Yog Mishrit Bhakti. So actually this bhakti which he get from dharana is actually Yog Mishrit Bhakti. It's not Ananya Bhakti. It's not pure devotional service. So what is the mix in a yoga in this? Has a desire for liberation. But there is some bhakti. Bhadram Ashram, so he sees the Lord. Srila Prabhupada writes, success of mystic performance is achieved only by help of devotional attitude. So a yogi has to add bhakti actually for his own success. Again, come to the pantheism, or a system of feeling the presence of Almighty everywhere. Now this is the explanation of pantheism. System of feeling the presence of Almighty everywhere is a sort of training of the mind to become accustomed to the devotional conception, and it is this devotional attitude of mystics that makes possible the successful termination of such mystic attempts. One is not however elevated to such a successful state without the tinge of mixture and devotional service. The devotional atmosphere created by pantheist vision develops into devotional service in later days, and that is the only benefit for the impersonalist. So who are practicing this dhyan yoga? Impersonalist. But if they come to pantheist state, they see everything in matter, a God as everything in matter, if they put devotion, then they can these impersonalists can be benefited. And it is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Klesho Adhiktar Tesham. Because it reaches the goal in an indirect way, although the impersonalists also become obsessed with the personal feature of Lord after a long time. So this pantheism, if leads to the devotion, that is best. If pantheism leads to impersonalism, that is worst. So yogi has now these two ways to go from here. So by that time, Parikshit Maharaj has asked question, Rajo Vacha, Yatha sandharyate brahman dharana yatra samatta yadrsi vahare dasho purushasya mano malam. The fortunate king Parikshit inquired further, said, O Brahman, please describe in full detail how and where the mind has to be applied and how the conception can be fixed so that dirty things in the person's mind can be removed. How is dharana accomplished? What is the approved object of concentration? How can one quickly remove the contamination in the mind? So question is bhakti mishrit yoga out of curiosity, not because Parikshit want to practice. It is only appropriate that the student of Sukhdev would have an inclination for pure bhakti like Sukhdev. So why Parikshit is asking? Just out of curiosity about this. You don't know, he's not going to practice this. Okay. So dirty things in the heart of conditioned soul are root cause of all troubles for him. A conditioned soul is surrounded by manifold miseries of material existence. But on account of his gross ignorance, he is unable to remove the troubles due to dirty things in the heart, accumulated during the long prison life in material world. He is actually meant to serve the will of the Lord, but on account of dirty things in the heart, he likes to serve his concocted desires. These desires, instead of giving him any peace of mind, create new problem and thus bind him to the cycle of repeated birth and death. These dirty things are the fruitive worker emperor. Now what is dirty thing? Prabhupada is giving the hint. Dirty things are fruitive work and empiric philosophy, which means the karmis and jnanis, can be removed only by association with Supreme Lord. The Lord, being omnipotent, can offer his association by his inconceivable potencies. And what is that inconceivable potency? That we will see is a Virat Roop. Thus, persons who are unable to pin their faith on the personal feature of Sultu are given a chance to associate with this Virat Roop or cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord. So those who have dirty things, it means those who have desires. We have then chart, now the yogi is going on the other path. And what is that path? Virat Roop path. Or a cosmic infinite feature of Lord. The cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord is feature of his unlimited potencies. These are all vibhutis. What is in the universal form? All his vibhutis, all his opulences. Since the potent and potency are identical, even the conception of impersonal cosmic feature helps the conditioned soul to associate with the Lord indirectly and thus gradually rise to the stage of personal contact. Maharaj Parikshit was already directly connected with the personal feature of the Lord Sri Krishna, and such he had no need to inquire from the Sukhdev Goswami about where and how to apply the mind and impersonal Virat Roop of the Lord. No need. But he inquired after a detailed description of the matter for benefit of others. Now this part is like that, why Arjun saw universal form? Why Parikshit want to ask this? Now Prabhupada writes, to set an example in the future, the people claim themselves God, they must show the universal form. for the benefit of others who are unable to conceive the transcendental personal feature of the Lord as a form of eternal knowledge. The non-devotees class of men cannot think of personal feature of Lord because of their poor fund of knowledge. The personal form of the Lord like Ram and Krishna is completely revolting to them. They have a poor estimation of the potency of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 9.11, Avajananti Mam Muda, it is explained by the Lord himself that the people with a poor fund of knowledge deride the Supreme Personality of God, taking him to be common men. Such men are ignorant of the inconceivable potency of the Lord. By the inconceivable potency of the Lord, he can move in human society or any other society of the living and yet remain the same omnipotent Lord without deviating in the slightest from his transcendental position. So for the benefit of men who are unable to accept the Lord in his personal eternal form, Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Sukhdev Goswami how to fix the mind on him in the beginning, and the Goswami replied in detail as follows. In the beginning means what one should think of, meditate, worship, and that is the answer. 23, Sukhdev Goswami watch, what Sukhdev Goswami is saying. One should control the sitting posture, regulate the breathing process by the yogic pranayama, and thus control the mind and senses, and with intelligence apply the mind to the gross potencies of the Lord called Virat Roop. Now this is like those who have a desire, then they can go on to the Krama Mukti side. So this verse answers the first question. For those yogis who cannot concentrate on the spiritual form of Paramatma mentioned in the verse 21. In verse 21, it is advised that they should think, they should meditate on the limbs of the Vishnu. But those who are not able to do that, the concentration on universal form for removing the contamination of attraction and repulsion is described. So that is this verse 23. This verse answers the first question. What is the first question of Parikshit out of the four questions in the first cantos? What one should meditate upon? So, materially absorbed mind of the conditioned soul does not allow him to transcend the limit of the bodily concept of the self, and thus the yoga system for meditation, controlling sitting posture, breathing posture, is prescribed in order to mold the character of the gross materialist. Unless such materialists are able to cleanse the materially absorbed mind, it is impossible for them to concentrate upon thought of transcendence. And to do so, one may fix one's mind on the gross, material or external feature of the Lord. The different parts of the gigantic form of the Lord are described in the following verse. Following verses. So now there is a description of Virata Roop. The materialistic men are very anxious to have some mystic power as a result of such a controlling process. But real purpose of yogic regulation is to eradicate the accumulated dirty things like the lust, anger, aversion, and all such mental contaminations. If the mystic yogi is diverted by accompanying feast of the mystic control, then his mission of yogic success is failure. It means if the yogis get the mystic power, then he just show that power and forget the goal of God realization. He is therefore recommended to fix his gross materialistic mind by different conception, thus realize the potency of Lord. As soon as the potencies are understood to be instrumental manifestation of the transcendence, one automatically advances to the next step, and gradually the stage of full realization becomes possible for him. So now it is the section of Krama Mukti, step by step elevation. Verse 24. This gigantic manifestation of phenomenal material world as a whole is personal body of the absolute truth, wherein the universal reluctant past, resultant past, present and future of material time is experienced. The body of the universal form is more solid than solid. Within that form, the past, present, and future of the universe, the product of the Lord, are seen. Vishesha means samashti, which means universal form. So what we are actually meditating on, vibhutis of the Lord. Vibhuti means opulences of the Absolute. And by what happened by that? If everything is the opulence of the Supreme, what we see in this world is the opulence of the Supreme, then we will not hate anybody and we will not actually envy anybody. So mind will be trained by that. Thus heart become pure. Then dharana on Vishnu will be possible. Now Srila Prabhupada writes, this is quite, okay, we have to go one more verse, I see, if we can, let us finish this purport. Anything either material or spiritual is but an expansion of the energy of the personality of Godhead. And as said in Bhagavad Gita 13:14, what is this verse? Everywhere Lord has the hands, legs, sarvatra pani padam, sarvatra iksha mukham. This is, it means, whoever has a hand and leg, and they are ultimately of the Lord, because Lord is the controller as a super soul. So the relative world is also his phenomenal representation, because it is nothing but an expansion of his transcendental energy. Although he is in his abode, his energy is distributed everywhere, just as sun is. This is a very famous verse in Isha Upanishad. The fire and the light and the heat. Fire may be at one place, but the light and heat can be seen everywhere. So God is in his own abode, but his energies are everywhere. So this is a verse from Vishnu Purana. The analogy. Similarly, Supreme Spirit, the personality of God, expands himself by his manifold energy everywhere and anywhere. The phenomenal manifestation of the gigantic universe is only part of his Virat body. Less intelligent men cannot conceive of the transcendental, all spiritual form of the Lord, but they are astounded by his different energies. Just the aborigines are struck with the wonder by manifestation of lightning, gigantic mountain, or hugely expanded banyan tree. So they can praise the strength of the tiger and elephant because of their superior energy and strength. Asuras cannot recognize the action of Lord, although there are vivid descriptions of the Lord in the revealed scripture. But Lord incarnate and exhibit his uncommon strength and energy. And although he is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by learned scholars, saints like Vyasadeva, Narada, Asit and Deval in the past, Shankara, Ramanuj, Madhva and Sri Chaitanya in modern age, asuras do not accept any evidential proof from the revealed scriptures. Nor do they recognize the authority of the great Acharya. They want to see with their own eyes at once. Therefore, they can see the gigantic body of the Lord as Virat, which will answer their challenges. And since they are accustomed to paying homage to superior material strength, like that of tiger, elephant and lightning, they can offer respect to Virat Roop. Lord Krishna, by the request of Arjuna, exhibited his Virat Roop. Exhibited. For asuras, a pure devotee of Lord being unaccustomed to the looking into such a mundane gigantic form of Lord requires special vision for purpose. The Lord therefore favored Arjuna with a special vision for looking into the Virat Roop, which is described in 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. This is not for the benefit of Arjuna, but for the unintelligent class of men who accept anyone and everyone as an incarnation of the Lord and so mislead the general mass of people. For them, the indication is that one should ask the cheap incarnation to accept Virat Roop and thus be established as an incarnation. Virat Roop manifestation of Lord is simultaneously a challenge to the atheist and a favor for the asuras, who can think of Lord as Virat and thus gradually cleanse the dirty things from their heart in order to become qualified to actually see the transcendental form of Lord in the near future. This is the favor of all merciful Lord, to atheist and grass materialist. So we are supposed to do the verse 15, but I think tomorrow we'll start from there. We are late. So tomorrow we'll start from verse number 25th. Anybody has any question or comment or some insight or understanding what we are doing actually? So, what we have discussed actually today from verse number 16 till verse number 24, the bhakti mixed with yoga and different stages of the Ashtanga yoga. And simultaneously Srila Prabhupada was giving us the alternate of devotional service, which is better and faster than the Om. Better to chant Hare Krishna. Instead of meditating inside, better to do the deity worship. And then we are touching the next aspect of a universal form. This is for those who have a concept of pantheism. They think everything is God. God is not separate from the world. What is God? This is in this world. There is nothing beyond this world. God is right here. Everything is God. So for them, this Virat Roop concept is better, that they can gradually advance if they are sincere. And then there are reasons given why Parikshit is interested in this, not for personal interest, but for the benefit of all people. So now the description of a universal form will continue from here onward, that how from sole of the feet is the lowest planet and the head is the topmost planet, and one should meditate on this and go in upper and upper. It's like a krama mukti. Krama mukti means step by step liberation by gradually going from one stage to other stage. And there is a sadhya mukti, which means this is for yogis. So any question or comment?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Ratnam Pereza.
Okay. Maharaj, I have one question. Like, out of the all the devotional service what we do daily, so here it seems to be prominent that devotional service of worshipping Krishna means the deity service is the topmost thing, Maharaj.
Yeah, out of the five limbs, in these paragraph we have seen only two things. Chanting of the Hare Krishna instead of Om, and thinking of the Vishnu in the heart instead of that, better to meditate on the deity form. So for practical purpose, we have the two advice by Srila Prabhupada in this section. The yogis can chant Om, but you can chant Hare Krishna. Yogi can meditate on the super soul, you can meditate on the deity form. There's no different, but it is easier, it is quicker, and it is engaging all the senses, so it can purify quickly.
Okay, Maharaj.
Yes, anybody else has any question or comment?
Hare Krishna, Guruji. I have a couple of questions. Yes. My first question is, here we see that yogis or gyanis, or particularly in this chapter, is yogis attempting to get perfection. And they are also a little bit inclined towards bhakti because they know they need that bhakti for the mercy. So then it is considered to be yoga mishra bhakti. So what about devotees? Well, Rupa Goswami talks about jnana karma adhyana abhritam anupulyena krishna anusilanam. That is different because there it's a devotees who are practicing, but they have inherent desires for karma and jnana.
Yeah, see, what we are saying is, the bhakti is divided into two. Pure bhakti, which Rupa Goswami is saying is a pure bhakti.
Right.
Uttama bhakti, analada bhakti. But there is another bhakti that is called mixed bhakti.
Okay.
The mixed bhakti has two types. one type of bhakti mix in which the bhakti is say 80%, but the 15-20% is either karma,
okay,
or gyan, or okay, yoga.
So that's from the angle of practicing devotees,
no,
right?
No. They are the different devotees. They are mixed devotees.
Okay. Okay, mixed devotees.
We are not doing this in a Krishna consciousness.
Okay, we are not doing this. Yes, okay.
But there are yeah, other people. This is called Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti.
Okay.
Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti means bhakti is more, other items are very less. So okay, therefore, they are favored by the God and devotees that they can come to the pure devotion. On the other
side... Say it again, Prabhu. Say it again.
They are favored by the association of devotees and God, and they can come to the pure devotion.
Okay.
They are not pure devotee by themselves, but they can come to the pure devotion by association of devotion, devotees or mercy of the Lord. Like okay, we have example of Dhruva Maharaj's Artharthi Bhakta.
Okay.
We have the example of Sukhdev Goswami. They are Gyani Bhakta, but they got mercy. They become devotees by Lord. So they are Gyan Mixed Bhakta or the Karam Mixed Bhakta. But then there are Yog Mixed Bhakta in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So Yog is 80%, Yog is 20% only, 80% is Bhakti. So they are called the Mixed Bhakta, but they get liberation.
Yes.
They get good liberation, even go to the Vaikuntha. But there is another type of Mixed Bhakta that's called Guni Bhuta. Guni Bhuta means 80% karma and 20% bhakti only. 80% gyan and 20% bhakti. 80% yoga and 20% bhakti. This 20% bhakti is simply to give the result of their action. Karma cannot give any result without bhakti. Gyan cannot give any result without bhakti. Yoga cannot give any result without bhakti. So they do little bhakti of icing on a cake. So it is not called bhakti. That is called gyan, karma and yoga. So they are not called bhakti. There is bhakti. But it's a guni bhuta means insignificant bhakti. But pradhani bhukta bhakti is best. So bhakti is divided into pure bhakti, unallied bhakti. In Bhagavad Gita in 7, 8, 9 chapter, all these different type of bhaktis are there. Pure bhakti is there. Mixed bhakti is there. Gyan mix is there. Karam mix is there. Yog mix is there. And then there is a other type also below than that. Below these three, there is another one. One for yogis and one the three other system which we said ek toena, pratik toena, bahuda, vishvato, mukham.
Yes.
So these are the different varieties of mixed bhakti there. So in this chapter, what we are seeing is going from grass to subtle. Mm-hmm. Going from the virat roop to the super soul and then going to the supreme personality of Godhead. So from the materialistic angle, we will go to the say Paramatma level in second chapter, and then we'll go to the real devotion. So this is a gradual process. This is a gradual process. But because they all are not of the same devotional attitude, and all have a different vision. Therefore, Sukhdev Maharaj has described step by step things.
Now I can kind of understand why Kapila Dev describes bhakti in the mode of ignorance and passion and all of that.
Yeah, there's a mixed bhakti. Bhakti mixed with
the most. Yeah, I can understand that now. Yeah.
Yeah. They are not pure bhakti, right? Hare Krishna. Is it okay? Is everybody comfortable? Things are going well. We are one shloka short of our quota today because we had that one small little work that why there is a so impersonal, universal form and liberation in Bhagavatam, which is a Amala Puran.
But I have one small observation or comment. This is also so important because to cover the 10 topics or, you know, gradual, that's why I think we can conclude very important to systematically study the Srimad Bhagavatam and not jump.
Sure.
Because then you can go through.
No, after third chapter, you will discuss the Narada and Brahma about creation. And then again the all incarnation will again come in a seventh chapter, all the incarnation, the two more will come which are not in the first canto. Then it will become 24 automatically. So, well, and then the Chaturshlokian most important part in the second chapter will come, second canto will come. Anyway, we will be together at least for 2 more weeks to finish the first 3 chapters. Okay.
Yes.
Krishna bless you all. Hare Krishna. So I don't know how I can send. I'm not really technical man. I have this whole bunch of the files. I can send.
What is your location right now? Can I ask?
I'm Vrindavan.
Okay. I will see if somebody in Vrindavan can take it from you in a pen drive.
I have like in my pen drive. It is there. You can take pen drive.
Yes, I will arrange. I will see if somebody can take in a pen drive, and then we can upload it for the other.
Who is a Vaishno Murthy? Who is this?
Vaishno Murari Prabhu.
Vaishno Murari. Okay.
Maybe I will call you tomorrow. We have few friends who can take you.